Turn in your Bibles, if you have them with you, whether it's a print copy or on your phone, to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 10. Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 10. I want to just share from my heart from a section of Scripture that is probably one of my favorites in the Gospels. This is not, again, unfamiliar to you. It may be one of your favorites as well. And it's the account of the interaction between Christ and Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. There are so many lessons that we can learn about our Savior here in this passage of Scripture. I sum up this little section of Scripture in Mark 10, verse 46 down to the end as just one of the most beautiful pictures of compassion that we have in our Savior Jesus Christ. I have three simple points this morning that I want to make, and they are this: because Jesus is compassionate, we can have hope. Because Jesus is compassionate, we have a listening ear we can go to. And because Jesus is compassionate, we have blessing. And this is what we find in this account with Bartimaeus, this blind beggar. Simple words, starting there in verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he," meaning Jesus, "went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Again, as I said, we have a picture of Christ's compassion. This is not the only instance of the compassion of Jesus on display, but one in which I find that it is just so crystal clear it can't be denied. Jesus Christ cared for people. He still does. Jesus Christ met the needs of this man. And dear ones, I'm going to say it with scriptural emphasis and authority. Christ still meets the needs of people today. He is not blind, nor is he deaf to the cries of his people. Here we see, because of the compassion of Jesus Christ, a man named Bartimaeus could have hope. Could have hope. Now, I find it remarkable that when we read this account in Scripture, we see something here. Again, we take for granted he's blind, he's a beggar. We've read this story numerous times. If you're one of those that typically do this, read through the Bible in a year, you've read this passage numbers of times. We take again for granted his blindness, but you know what? He never did. Bartimaeus never took his blindness for granted. He lived with it daily. Now, we don't know if he was born this way or if this had occurred at some way along the path of his life. We're just not told, and it's not really important. The reality is the man was blind. Now, folks, you might say, well, Pastor Doug, why are you bringing that up and with such emphasis? It's because of this. Never once had he laid an eye on any of the miracles Jesus had done. He was not there when Christ broke the loaves and fed 5,000 and then 4,000 later. He was not there to see a man brought out in a coffin and his widowed mother crying beside the bier to see Jesus stop and touch the coffin and the young man come back to life. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, was not there to see demon-possessed people cured, lepers cleansed. None of that. But yet, what do we see? The man who was a blind beggar outside of the gates of Jericho, as soon as he heard this was Jesus of Nazareth, what happened? Faith leapt up into his heart. Now notice that. He heard. Dear ones, if you knew of a person that was raising the dead, curing the blind, casting out demons, people that were palsied that had never walked in their life are now walking around, the deaf could hear, the mute speak. If you had heard or saw those things, would you not begin telling others about that? Now, again, we take for granted in our internet generation and with our mobile phones that we can just text a message and it's halfway around the world. We could, if we know somebody in China, we can text them in a matter of seconds, they know it. Not so then. News spread by word of mouth. And you can believe it that when there was this man named Jesus from the city of Nazareth walking around curing the sick, raising the dead, that word was going to spread like a fire in a forest that was dry with no rain. And I have no doubt in my mind, based on the response of this man, that when he heard, as the crowd is going by, that this is Jesus of Nazareth, all of those stories that he had heard came crashing into his soul and said, "This man can help me. Only he can do something." Now again, we don't know the backstory of this man. We know he had a family. It says he is the son of Timaeus, and that's what his name actually means. Bartimaeus, Bar, son of Timaeus. We do not know if this man's father was still alive. We don't know the age of him. We don't know if he had been married at one time or still was. We just don't know, other than the fact he was a blind man begging. He had no hope outside of Jesus Christ. But yet there was hope because it was Jesus Christ. Again, I find it remarkable that as this man would hear the name of Jesus of Nazareth, again, it would leap up because Jesus was really a fairly common name. It meant Joshua. A lot of the people, as you understand, Jewish people would name their sons after the heroes of the faith. But he heard that this was Jesus the Nazarene, the man from Nazareth. And he's coming out. And that faith demanded a cry. Now, again, when I read this passage of Scripture, I find it remarkable how easy it is to miss the fact that this was a living person. Because again, we don't know Bartimaeus. He's a piece of history. But just like you and me, he was flesh and blood that walked on this earth, as Brother Joe was just mentioning a moment ago, that suffered. I don't think there's anybody in this congregation today that has not in some way, shape, or form felt physical affliction, emotional pain, spiritual bondage. Bartimaeus is just like you and me. And we're just like him. And we can read, and I purposely did this when I was reading this passage of Scripture. There wasn't much of a volume increase when we read his cry. But look at what it says here. And imagine Bartimaeus. There's a crowd, probably fairly larger than the one we have here in this church, coming out of the city gates. He's sitting nearby. He hears it's Jesus. And again, if you have a crowd coming out, people aren't just silently following. They're talking. There may have been children playing. And as you know, go to any local restaurant. What happens when people talk in a restaurant? The more people there are, the more talking there is, and the volume what? It goes up. You have to talk louder for people across from you to hear what you're saying. Now picture a multitude of people, a crowd of people, like it says, a great number of people coming out of Jericho following Jesus. And here's Bartimaeus by the side of the city gate. He hears the words, Jesus of Nazareth, and what happens here? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me! And what happens? Many of the people said, shut up. Look at the words, verse 48. Many charged him. What's that charge mean? Commanded him. They commanded him. Bartimaeus, stop talking. Hold your peace. Be quiet. That's the fancy word again of what we tell our kids never to say. Shut up. Shut up. Why? No doubt Bartimaeus was a common sight to most of these people. Probably a lot of them had had compassion on him at one time, but you know what happens with us humanly? We again take for granted the things that we see frequently, and sometimes they become a burden. Now you got a blind beggar that day in and day out, for however long he's there, is calling out to people, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? And you see this day in, day out, numerous times every day. You see it when you're coming into the city, when you're going out of the city. You hear people talking about the beggar beside the road. Who is he? What's going on? And it's nonstop every time somebody comes in or goes out. He's a man in desperation, and he says, help me, help me, help me. And you hear it over and over and over, and guess what? You become callous. You may have given him a few shillings. You may have helped him out maybe with food, assisted him at some time to get from one place to the other. But that's worn off because it's a common sight now. You've seen him there for so long, there's nothing special. He's more of a nuisance and a pain. And because of that, what do we find these people doing? The very one that they were following because of everything he had done. The one that could help this man, they tell him to shut up and leave him alone. That's human nature. We're all like that. But do you think that stopped Bartimaeus? No, because as I said before, his blindness was an ever-present reality of suffering since the moment it landed on him, again, either at birth or later on in his life. And notice what it says there. When they told him to be quiet there in verse 48, he cried the more a great deal, Son of David, have mercy on me! Because of the cries of the crowd, he cried out even louder. Because again, Jesus was his only hope. And this is not a hope that, well, maybe. It's like people that play the lotteries. They get those scratch tickets. Or they go to a poker game and gamble in Vegas. They're hoping they win something, at least to cover the money that they put down. That's not the hope that we have in the scripture. This is a confidence that this one will and can help me. That's Bartimaeus. He knew that if Jesus had healed blind people, and we know he had, he would do it for him. And dear ones, I say that again because of the compassion of Jesus Christ. We ourselves have hope. It doesn't matter what we are going through, we have a Savior who loves and cares for his people, and in whatever case they may find themselves in, whatever circumstance or condition, he is the one we can confidently go to that has all of the answers for our dilemmas. Amen. Whether they're emotional, physical, or spiritual, he has those answers. But also, and I love this aspect that we read of the story, is when we come to verse 49. because of the compassion of Jesus, we have hope, but we also have one who has a listening ear. Now, folks, we all know that there is a president of the United States called Donald Trump. Whether you like the guy or not, he's the president of the United States, and he has power. He had power before he was president. He has power now as president. And he will have power after he is done being president, whenever that may be. But just because you know those facts, that doesn't mean he can do something for you or will do something for you. Why? Because again, based on your relationship, you don't know the guy. He doesn't have an obligation towards you. It would be nice, but we would not fault him if we were to write him a letter and he said, you know what, sorry, or one of his secretaries said, the president has kindly considered your proposal, and at this point he declines. We would not be able to really be mad at the guy because we don't have a relationship with him. But folks, aren't you thankful that with the God of the universe we have a relationship? And he calls us his, and we can say he is mine. And here we have a Savior. Because of his compassion, we have one who has a listening ear to the cries of his people. Look at what it says there in verse 49. Bartimaeus had cried out, and Jesus stood still. Now, there were other voices going on at this point. Again, people shouting Bartimaeus down, Bartimaeus shouting above the crowd, all the others that maybe never heard Bartimaeus, they're on the outskirts, but Jesus was in this crowd, and it says he stood still. Something caught his attention. And what was it? It was his cry again. Bartimaeus's need. And because of this compassionate Christ, we read, Jesus commanded him, Bartimaeus, to be called. What is that? Here is the picture of the king, the Messiah. That's what Son of David means. It was something every Jew knew what that meant. This is the Messiah king that God had promised in the Old Testament. That king just gave an audience to one of his people. He commanded him to be called. For what purpose? Just to stand? No, he wanted to hear what Bartimaeus had to say. What did Bartimaeus want? Whatever the request was, Jesus was willing to hear it. And there's almost like a little parenthetical statement here. We hear again that he's called, he's commanded the people to call him up there. And then it says, they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I don't know if this is the same people that had been telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, or if this was another group that, hey, this man has a need, let's help him out. Whatever the case may be, the group that was there was silence that demanded him to shut up. And then there were those that spoke up and said, Bartimaeus, take comfort. Be of good cheer. He's calling for you. He calleth thee. And Bartimaeus, in response, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, this might, again, because we don't live in an era like this, but it is fairly common still in the Middle East with people that are beggars. They have an outer garment that they wear. It's not that the man was walking around naked, okay? He had an outer garment that he wore, and those undergarments that were basically like a full body covering was underneath, and it shielded people from the oppressive heat of the sun. But a beggar would take that outer garment off and lay it across their lap as they sat on the ground. And this is where the people would toss whatever money or items that the man was asking for into. Now picture this. This man is on the ground. It doesn't say he has stood up. When he's calling out, he's still seated. He's got this garment across him. And this is what I find, again, remarkable. This man, again, we're not told the detail. There could have been money in there. There may not have been any money in there. Whatever the case is, this garment was a necessity for this man to be able to get by day. It would almost be like a carpenter not having tools to be able to do the building of a home. If Bartimaeus didn't have this garment, this was the means by which people would help him, and this was the means by which he would take home what he had gotten that day. But notice what he does. He casting away his garment. Mark is one of the most picturesque gospels that we have. It's some of the most forceful language that you can picture. He literally took that and he flung it from him. Now, if he had money in there, guess what? It just went out in the crowd of people. If not, that garment was no longer a concern. Why? Because the one who could help him was now allowing him to talk. It says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. The word rose literally means he leaped up, he sprung up. Have you ever seen kids? I remember when I went to public school, when it was show and tell time in class. How many of you remember show and tell in school? Okay, it's mostly the older folks in here. Show and tell time was one of my favorites because you got to bring to school something that most time you were never allowed to bring any other time. And it's one of those things that was like a particular treasure for you. There were times where I remember little girls would bring their little gerbils or their guinea pigs, and that would be the big thing for the day. Some boy would bring a frog, okay? Stuff like this. Well, the name would be called, and do you think that kid who was just anxious to share what was his or her favorite thing, do you think that kid just slowly got up and walked down with their head down to the ground? Not at all. These kids, as soon as they heard the first syllable of their name, they shot right up. That chair would go flying backwards, and they were raced right to the front of the classroom. Every time, bar none. Especially after Christmas. Dear ones, look at again what Bartimaeus did. This blind man jumps up from the ground, and I have no doubt there's people probably having to lead him to Jesus, but they're having to keep up with him this time, not him with them. He rose, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Dear ones, may I say it, that no matter where we may find ourselves, whatever condition, law in life, the fact that we have a Savior named Jesus Christ, we have a reason to run to Him. We have a reason to run. Remember one of the missionary biographies I read years ago, this man said that when the conflicts and trials of life come, they should not push us away from God. They ought to force us to lean on Him. The weight of those things should press us to the breast of Christ, not come between us. And in the conflict that Bartimaeus had, with his eyes not being able to see, they pressed him to Jesus Christ. And we see finally that not is he just a compassionate Savior who gives us hope and has a listening ear, but we see one who gives his people abundant blessing. Because of his compassion, he blesses his people. Look at verses 51 and 52. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What just happened there? Christ just wrote this man a blank check and he endorsed it at the bottom. Whatever you want, just like what Brother Joe preached on last Sunday morning, Solomon goes to bed at night and God comes to him in a dream and says, whatever you want, it's yours. Bartimaeus could have asked for anything. But dear ones, what could have been more important than getting his sight? I mean, a blind man could have a fleet of airplanes and all the money in the world, but what good is it doing him? He can't enjoy the sight of what those things do. Now, he may be able to enjoy some of the creature comforts, But he can't enjoy the majority of what those things could do for him. And we would say again, if this man had asked for the greatest amount of wealth in the world, and if Jesus had granted it, we'd say he was a fool. He couldn't enjoy any of the proceeds from it. But we can understand a beggar that was blind asking for his eyes to be able to see. And look at what we see here. The blind man said unto him, Lord. It's the word Rabboni, the same word that Mary used after Jesus rose from the dead. It's an intimate term, but one of great respect. This was one who had power to help him. And he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And look at this. Because Jesus is all compassion as we sing. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. There's a key phrase, made thee whole. It can be translated, thy faith hath saved thee. And what happened? And immediately he received his sight. Now stop there a moment. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, are we just flesh and blood as human beings? No, we are not. We are flesh and blood, but we are not just flesh and blood. We have a soul. Dear ones, God is concerned both with the spiritual and the physical well-being of his people. We see that Christ granted to him because of Bartimaeus' faith, thy faith hath made thee whole. Immediately he received his sight. The physical aspect of his body was taken care of. But, dear ones, Christ was not just here to give physical sight to a blind man and allow his soul to be damned to hell. This man, as we started out with, had already believed that this one was the Messiah, the anointed. He was the Christ, as we use. What had already occurred in this man's spirit? He believed that this was truly the one God had sent to redeem Israel. That's why he called him Son of David. It was a messianic title of trust in the one who was right there. Because look at the words that follow. He immediately received his sight, and look what happened. And followed Jesus in the way. Did you notice what Christ started out with? After he gave his request, what did Jesus say? Go thy way. Go thy way. What was the way of Bartimaeus? It was following God. Because it tells us again, this man who received his sight followed Jesus in the way. Some translations actually have that last way in capital letters. What does that mean? He followed the Lord. And this wasn't just, again, out of fascination for who he was. And guess what? It's not even out of respect for what he had done for Bartimaeus. It's the fact that this man's heart was knit to Jesus Christ no matter what. No matter what. He followed him in the way. We see a man whose faith worked in him loyalty. Loyalty. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, that's almost expected. I tell you what, I don't think so anymore. And we see accounts of it in the Scripture. Remember the 10 lepers that were healed, and guess what? Only one came back to say thank you. The other 9 went on their own merry way. There wasn't gratitude there. But when we look at the condition of even people today, and I take our own nation, our own state, and our own city that we live in, and the outlying areas, I can't tell you how many times it breaks my heart when I read about something that is done for somebody, and then they take that individual to court because they didn't do it sooner. You had the ability to do this for me years back, and you right now do it? They take them to court and they get what? Emotional, physical damages, all sorts of things that you can imagine. This is the type of society and day in which we live. There is no gratitude and loyalty anymore. It's all of what? A me-centered focus. But Bartimaeus was not like that. Could Jesus not have come here to Jericho far sooner than he did? Yep. Did Jesus not know that there was a blind beggar by the road there outside of the city gate? Yeah, he did. But it was at this point in time Christ chose to come. And Bartimaeus, because he loved God, chose to give his way to the Lord's way. Not go off and desert, but to join and cling to the one who had already saved him. Now, we know again, this is prior to the crucifixion, but dear ones, we know throughout the gospel accounts there were those that came to Christ believing that he was the Messiah, and what happened? They were converted. They were looking at what would be done, that this Redeemer would redeem. What do we do now? We look back and say, he has redeemed. It's the object of the faith that's important. Bartimaeus was not looking to Jesus as some great miracle-working physician walking around. He was looking at him as truly God's sent one, the Messiah. Now I say again, because of Christ's compassion, we have hope. Because of Christ's compassion, we have a listening ear with the Son of God. And because of Christ's compassion, we have blessings bestowed. And did you notice I made that very generic? Because, dear ones, even those outside of Jesus Christ who have not trusted him because of his compassion have all three of those as well. Because at any time, they can come with a confident expectation he can grant them what they need. They can come even outside of Christ and know he will hear. And they can come and know that they will receive blessing. Just as Bartimaeus said, your faith hath made you whole. Sinners outside of Christ can come to Christ and know because he is the Redeemer from sin, they are a sinner, he can buy me outside of that. Jesus Christ will redeem the sinful soul still today. He is no less powerful than he was back then. Dear ones, this is both for the believing and the unbelieving here today. I can't take for granted, and I will not take for granted, that there may be one here that knows not Christ as their Savior. It's not what we can do for God to bend his ear and say, hey, they've given a bunch of money in church today, I'll take into special consideration. No. Not at all. It's only based on what Christ has done, not what we can do, that God will save someone. Every man, woman, boy, girl, no matter how old or young they may be, if they have not come to Christ, we're all born into the same lot. We are sinners separated from God spiritually. And there's not a thing we can do about it but cry out like Bartimaeus, Son of David, have mercy on me. If you're here today outside of Christ, all you need do is say, Savior Jesus, save my soul. And we have that wonderful, beautiful promise in the gospel according to John. He will not turn anybody away. All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. In our language, anybody who comes to me, they'll be received. No one is ever turned away with Jesus Christ. Never once. Right. A child of God, I say this to you as well. There are times in our spiritual walk we may grow in despair, things in life aren't going the way that we expected it. Sometimes we doubt God. We doubt whether God is there at all. But as I said before, and I say for your encouragement again, those pressures of life should drive you to Christ, not away from Him, because He is the only one that can solve them for you. And He is the only one, even as the Apostle Paul heard, Paul, no, I'm not going to grant the request of taking away the physical affliction, but I'll give you this, my grace is sufficient for you. I'll give you the strength to bear up under that suffering. The suffering doesn't go away, but God is there helping. You're not alone. Now again, I don't know where you may be as a child of God, what you're going through. Financial, physical pain, emotional, spiritual affliction. Sorrow over a loved one who is outside of Christ, whatever it may be. Dear ones, as a preacher, I'm going to say this, run to Christ. Give those burdens to Him, and He will bless you.